welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
This song, you just join me. I'll sing it only once, as against what I would have wanted to do before. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Just that. If you know it, fine. If not, no problem. But what we are going to focus on in today's class will be to crown him Lord of all over our lives. It will be to put him in charge of every affair, every area, every business that we will be involved in. So if you know it, I invite you to join me. But don't join me if you are not. I believe we are all crowning him. So I think everyone should join me. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Going to crown him Lord of all. Alright. Crown him King of Kings. Crown him Lord of Lords. Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, Emmanuel, God is with us, and he shall reign, he shall reign, he shall reign forever. Our Father, our Savior, and our Lord, we crown you King of Kings, we crown you Lord of Lords, we crown you Lord of our lives, and we are declaring that you will reign. You will reign in our hearts, you will reign in our lives. You will reign enthroned over our own will, and you will bring to pass your good purpose for us. Thank you, our Father. For we are prayed in Jesus' name. Even as we go on, we ask for further illumination. With the new wine that you have given us, you will cause your word to gain entrance into our hearts and to give understanding to the simple. We will not stop at the gate of excitement. We will push past the gate and burst forth into a glorious experience. We will not just be informed. Rather, we will pick up things that we will begin to work with, so that we will not just be hearers, but doers of the word, and thus be blessed as a result. We will give all glory to you, for you alone are worthy of it. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Let your living water flow over my soul, and let your Holy Spirit take control of every heart, beginning with my own. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's do it now. Oh, this computer is dead, I guess. Oh, I donated. There are about 3 to 5 more points that I strongly desire that we should see about the master, but I won't talk about them. At best, I will just list them for you to write. But I'm intending that by the grace of God, I would like to make copies of that particular section in the outline I have available for everyone. And I trust that God will give me grace to do as I desire. Somebody, you are not saying amen for me. One of them is that I want you to know that Jesus Christ, who we are aspiring to follow, is the owner of all that God possesses. And that right now, God has nothing that does not belong to Jesus. Every single thing you claim to be asking from God, you are only asking from that which is Jesus' property. That's the person that is calling you to be his apprentice. Can Donald Trump compare with that? Call all of them. Put all of them together. God said, if I'm hungry, I will not tell you. It's not your type. Isaiah 66. For 1,000 cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are mine. What house can you build for me? What can you do? Because all these things my hands have made. So you can quickly write it down. He's the owner of all that God possesses. John 3:35, 16:15, 17:10. I am intending to make the manual available. So if you can get it, fine. If not, let's leave it. Jesus is the owner of all that God possesses. You can write John 16:15. You just take that alone. Let me leave all the rest. And by the time we become his disciples, Romans 8:17 says that we will now become joint heirs together with him. That means we will become owners together with him concerning everything. So what God has given him, that is his property, all of them, I mean all the silver, all the gold, every single thing, all power, all benefits, all graces, every one of them, Romans 8:17, we are joint heirs together with Christ. We own them together. So I will open my mouth to boldly tell you that I own life. I am the owner of death. I am the owner of silver and gold. And it is not a question of cash and dollars, but that you have them at your control for every single thing that it is required. Because all that it takes you is to make a demand on what is already yours. And when you have understood that, praying and asking God to meet your needs will no longer be a matter of, I don't know whether God will do it, I'm struggling. You will only be waiting for appropriate time and appropriate season and for the appropriate reasons. I have no prayer that God doesn't answer. It's the next point under the same thing. God answers all his prayers. John 11:22. And that's what we are going to begin to experience when you begin to follow Jesus as your lifestyle. You cannot have an unanswered prayer. Because the first answer you will get is not even that thing happening. It is God himself telling you what he will do concerning what you are asking. So before you even move, before anything, you already know. You know whether your answer is a yes, a no, or wait. You had it yesterday. You will know. That's taken. Number two. In the list of those five things, and this is very important, he is the judge of all works. So you had better receive the pattern from him. He is the judge of all works. Jesus is the one that will judge all our works. Jesus is the one that will judge every human being that is seated here. God judges no man. The Father judges no man. He has committed all judgments into the hands of the Son. All your works as music ministers, because I am seeing a number of us here,
All your works as preachers, all your works as whatever you do in church, Jesus is the one that will judge. So you had better make sure that he's the one that taught you the principles you are applying, and that it is him that you are copying. Because everything that does not proceed from his pattern, they will all burn. If you eventually, by chance, make it to heaven, you will be coverless for all eternity. And you might have been a star and won several big Grammys and awards. You will be very shocked that the most popular men, including preachers, are not going to be the greatest people in heaven. You will remember that I said this that day. And I'm not asking you to believe me. It's what you already said. You will be very shocked that I'm preaching has not in any way made me, given me a big place there. Unless I actually maintain my work with him the way I should be, and I am conformed to his image. I believe that the people that will be closest to Jesus' throne in heaven will be those that look like him the most. Because that's what the old race is about. Becoming like Jesus. The old Christian race, that's what it's about. Not the person that preached the most powerful message or saved the highest number of souls. You are going to find many old women and old grandpas that are in the corner of their homes and praying for Africa and living a life that pleases Jesus, who will be crowned far above several of the big men that you know and that you drop fat offerings for. Jesus knows who is doing the real work. The person who is doing the praying inside the house is actually doing more than the person who is going up and down and has no time to pray. But of course, eventually everybody will receive his own reward as long as you have done exactly what is required of you. So maybe your mind will begin to calm down from this let everybody know me thing and begin to walk rightly. He will judge all works, so it's better you receive the pattern from him so that you will not suffer loss. John 5:22, Matthew 7:22-25. John 5:22. I want to be fast with those ones, so that's why I'm not writing anything. John 5:22, Matthew 7:22-25. Second to last, is our merciful high priest not a taskmaster? Let's also know that this is our boss. This is our master that we want to follow. And we're going to review his arms now, very soon. This our master is a merciful high priest. What the high priest does is to make atonement, to sacrifice, you know, a lamb or offering to God on behalf of the people to beg God for their sins. He's not a taskmaster. He's not somebody that will force us to labor under very heavy burden. He doesn't. So if at any time the devil has given you a perception that Jesus is a hard man, hard to please, any little thing like this you more in and talk, he do this one, he's well, like too much, yeah, I don't even know what I would deserve. Oh, sorry, the devil wants to deceive you. It's not like that. He says, I am lowly and meek and humble in heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He doesn't put too much burden on you. What will give you the breakthrough is to understand that everything he tells you to do is only for your good. He has nothing to gain. Quote me anywhere. That's Jeremiah 32, 38 to 41. Everything he tells you, it's only talking for your good. Don't go for that job. He is helping you. They have promised you 100,000. He knows that in 3 months you are out of that place and you will be back to the gutter. And he's saying, wait, I have a better plan. Something that you will grow a business from ground floor and it will become something bigger later with his wisdom. But you say, no, my parents are crying at home. They want me to do something. With your little mind that sees nothing after today, you rush out and you miss the best shots. Everything he says is for your good. What does he have to gain? He is all by himself sufficient. That's a self-sufficient God. He needs nothing. He doesn't need anything. He gives good to all men. He gives food to all men. He gives all things to all men. That's the person that we want to become his apprentice. Such that by the time we have been trained properly, that's the type of person we will become like. That anytime people come to your life, they will always be able to draw substance. Whatever the solution to their problem is, they will find. If they don't find by you giving them directly, they will find by you standing in front of God that you have access to and then he will do something about that case because he stood there. We had it yesterday. The whole world will lie in wait. They will wait before the man that knows how to stand alone with God. That it always happens. The final one, have we read scriptures for that? Merciful High Priest, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. Hebrews 4, 14 to 15. And 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 2, 16 to 18. Chapter 4, 14 to 15. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2. I'm intending to make this available for all, like I said, so don't have to bother so much. Finally, some of us may not have known, but Jesus, he is the Word of God, and he is the power of God to save souls. We mentioned it here just about, was it on Wednesday when we had this course first, that me, and I will say it again, I have nothing to learn from an unbeliever that I will use to serve my Christ. They call it music. I have nothing that they can teach me. I will say it again. I have not learned from them, and till today I will not learn from them. Till I will go to the grave, I will not learn anything from them. They have nothing, not with their blocked head. There is nothing that they want to teach me that Jesus cannot teach. He has taught me from that time till now. I am not about to go back. Not at this stage. Now, we mentioned that time that who told you that it is skill or voice or whatever you call it, any other thing, that saves souls? Who told you that any other thing counts when people's lives are not touched and souls are not saved? Who told you that you will win any reward in heaven when your work has no bearing with the eternal kingdom and all you did was won awards, win awards and all those other things, and they call you all the names they call you? Who told you that you will not soon be forgotten after 5 years and another person beats your record? But the person that Jesus touches becomes eternal. Everything he touches becomes eternal. Lasts forever. Everything that is insignificant, when Jesus touches it, it becomes significant. Nobody would have heard about the woman with the issue of blood, only that she touched Jesus. Nobody would have known nothing about Mary Magdalene, only that she came to Jesus. Nobody would have known about the coat that was tied to the tree, only that Jesus rode on it. Nobody would have known all those things. Anything Jesus touches becomes important. It's unfortunate that our perception concerning him has been low all this while, but that is revived in Jesus' name. So if you are going to minister or preach, whichever form of ministration you want to do, and it will have power, it will have deep conviction, you can only get it from him, and that is as a disciple. You can only get it from him, not from anyone. So all this emergency going to pray because you have a ministration, sorry, it's not the pattern. It's emergency sanctification. It's not how it's supposed to be. Emergency, just because they have called you now, you are ministering somewhere next week, then you now start trying to be living holy and try to be praying. It's not like that. We are supposed to be soldiers, a soldier all around. In sleep, a soldier. They wake you up, bah! You are ministering as a minister. You live with him, not this emergency thing. Many of you here also are in choirs, and you know how it is when you come out in the morning or on Sunday and they ask you to lead. Even if you have lived the most unspiritual life all week long, it's as if immediately you close your eyes and you start singing, something will start doing you as if you are spiritual. Isn't it? Is it not how it happens? That one is fake. It is corporate anointing, just because you are in the church environment, and most times it's just emotion that is carrying you. Your real quality of life is what you have in your personal altar. If it takes you 5 minutes or 10 minutes to connect, that's how fast and that's how close you are to God. Not this one that immediately you get there, it's as if the whole world is no longer existing because you're in front of a crowd. That's a lie. False life. That's it. Challenge me. Bring your scriptures. Bring your arguments. We will look at it, and the Holy Spirit will answer all the questions. Okay, can we go on? Very important. Are we ready to go on now? Alright, so we'll begin lesson 2 today. You see, there's no frowning today. We have received new wine. So I don't know. I feel like laughing all through. I am so lifted. So lifted. Okay, lesson 2. Please write. Need for discipleship. We have explained earlier that discipleship is a relationship between a master and a student, but especially a student that is aspiring and is a student with the focus of becoming exactly like the master, such as what you have in apprenticeship, a master and then an apprentice. And we went further to say that discipleship is a situation where a disciple adopts the teachings of a master or another person whom he considers greater than himself and makes it his own lifestyle. So which means if we are saying Jesus is our master in this case, we are going to adopt the teaching and the lifestyle of Christ and make it our own. Now that brings us one challenge. It means we must know the teachings of Christ and we must know the lifestyle of Christ. Now, so if you don't know the teachings of Christ, I'm not saying the whole Bible, because the whole Bible is summed up in the teachings of Christ. But I'm saying to make quick progress, the teachings of Christ himself and his life. You will find them mostly in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And for this class, I am recommending, I like too much work to give people work. We are going to read the book of Mark. I started mine 2 days ago. It has only 16 chapters. It's the shortest out of all the four Gospels. And if you read 2 chapters in a day, I'm not saying study extensively, I'm just saying read. If you read 2 chapters in a day, which you can do in 1 hour, you can finish in 8 days. We still have about 7 days or so in this school. It's not an assignment you will submit. It's a recommendation that is very high, and I would like to call it an assignment, so that at least you can become familiar with the teachings and the lifestyle of Christ. You will be able to see his devotional life. You'll be able to see how early he wakes up to pray. You'll be able to see what he does after moments of high, you know, achievements and miracles and every other thing. You'll be able to see how he refuses honor and awards. You'll be able to see how he refuses big invitation to come and be king and come and be an important person. You'll be able to see all those things. You'll be able to see across board what makes him angry. You'll be able to see his own submission to God the Father. You'll be able to see how he keeps hiding himself as unimportant. You will see several things. How he was beaten and he did not revile back. How they angered him and they did his own brothers, of course, although you will find that in John. His own brothers talked and did all manner of things. Nothing. You'll be able to see. And then you will see his promises. You will see his assurance. You will see what he offers you. It's in Mark 16 that you will find, "This sign shall follow those that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them." And the disciples, verse 20, went everywhere preaching the gospel. The Lord also walking with them, confirming the words with signs following. That's where you will find all those things. They are treasures that he has left for us. So we have to acquaint ourselves with the teachings and the lifestyle of Christ. You will find them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, majorly. All the other things in the Bible definitely revolves around Jesus Christ. You must know that. It's the center of everything, from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, everything revolves around him. is asking you to come and be like him. Soon the whole world will begin to revolve around what you say and the things you do. If we get it right, we are going to set a pace for Nigeria. If we get it right, Nigeria, especially like me, I'm in music, I have things to do with music. They would have a breath of fresh air on what it means to be a music ministry and what Christian music should be like. If we get it right, you will join us. If we get it right. So let us move on. The need for discipleship. We want to look at the benefits and the costs. I'll be fast with the benefits since we have talked a little bit about the other things so that we can get into the costs. Number one, benefits. Benefits. Number one is access to God. Okay, access to the secrets of God, rather. That's a much better way. Because once you become born again, definitely, you have access to God. We'll begin that with Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, 11 to 12, and verse 34. If you are going to read, make sure you have a microphone. If not, I am there and I'm going to read now. He told them, this was after he gave the parable of the sower. A sower went to sow, scattered seed on this one, that ground. They don't know what it means. And they didn't bother to ask. But he said, you, to his disciples, let me start from verse 10 so you will see it properly. And as soon as he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 apostles began to ask him about the parables. What did they begin to do? A disciple of Jesus Christ asks questions from Jesus. That's the first mark. Ask questions. And he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom, that is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable. Are you saying that? In order that they may indeed look, and look, but not see and perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest haply they should turn again, and it, their willful rejection of the truth, should be forgiven them. God himself deliberately hides away the truth of the word of God from those who are not his disciples. That's why there are several people who don't understand the Bible. This thing is just like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't just open. It's not an ordinary book. If you permit me, I will tell you it is a mysterious book. If you can remove the bad sense from mysterious that you have attached to it. It's a mysterious book. It's not for everybody. Not just anyone can understand it. You have to be a student of Jesus that is willing to learn from Jesus Christ to understand what the word of God is saying. Especially to you as a person. I'm not saying to be able to explain what happened in a passage. Oh, in that passage, Jesus came to them and he told them this and then they responded that and you know. I'm not talking about that. That you will get a message, you will hear God himself from the pages of scripture giving you direct instructions for life that will deliver results to you immediately. It's only disciples that have access to such. To you, the disciples, who will bother, who will care to ask questions and say, this thing is not yet clear, Jesus, you have to explain. I'm not here to waste my time. I'm a student. I am going to compensate with my time. You have to explain this thing before I go. Those are the ones he will show secrets to. I'll be fast with them, I said. So I move. Verse 34. Verse 34. He did not tell them anything without a parable, but privately to his disciples, those who were peculiarly his own, he explained everything fully. It's the same chapter. They were bringing down that same discourse after he had explained the meaning to them. We have that. To his disciples, he explains everything fully. My desire is that you will make a decision that you will become his disciple. That you will say, Jesus, I want to know what you know. And then he knows all things. And then you will not stop at a closed gate. You cannot attempt anything and not know what to do. You cannot. I was still telling one of my brothers, he said he fixed something on his computer that he had never done before. If you are a disciple, if you handle an impossible situation, what you need to do is stop and say, Jesus, please show me what to do. If he fails, come back and tell me that he failed you. It is not him. It's not him. I have things I teach in music, musical concepts. Nobody taught me. I developed the teaching plan myself. You play keyboard, you know about solmization. I developed a plan that teaches people how to do solmization. You'll be able to sing and put on this offer for songs within 1 hour if I finish teaching you. It's what I've done before. There are proofs. I can call people for you. Nobody taught me how to do it. Nobody. You cannot have a dull head. Not with him. He gives you access to secrets. Things that trouble the wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what he has prepared for those who love him. But we know these things, because the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, and he has revealed it to us by that Spirit. You are struggling with a particular subject. Why not sit down and say, Jesus, show me this thing, and let me see if it doesn't inspire your mind and your thoughts to understand what is there. He's not the one that makes you a failure. It is your fault. You have limited him. You have not bothered to call him to help you. You are too much on your own, and then you see your mess. He enjoys leaving people to... No, he doesn't enjoy it. It pains him. How can you be suffering when you have so much on the plate? And you are scratching the floor. How? As much as he has even given me materials for vocal training, when I'm walking through some of them, I still ask him, please help me fix this thing. So I get results faster than somebody else who is still trying to, let me work through it. I get results faster. Why don't you take, if you like, call it shortcuts? Why don't you take that shortcut? It will only be a matter of time. Some of the other things will mature. We will be able to say them. So we don't get into the trap of talking too much. Okay. That's number one. Ask questions. Ask questions a lot. Ask questions a lot. From Jesus directly and from the people that you know are following him. That's how disciples move. That's how disciples grow. In my early days of discipleship under Jesus, and with the privilege that he gave me to have access to Brother Abraham, ask him, he's sitting down there, I will ask questions. My pastor that came here the other day to preach to you on time management, ask him, 8 years ago when I first met him, what he used to recognize me, my trademark, is that I always ask questions. I will write them inside paper. I will prepare my questions while he's talking. I'm jotting down almost every word he's saying. And when he's through, questions that are arising, I'm asking more. That's how you become a brilliant student. Ask questions. Plenty of questions. If you come to Bible study, ask questions. Why did you say this? Then his Spirit will begin to inspire you. And then it will begin to connect scripture to scripture. Okay, I've seen it. How can I do this? Then it will link you to another place. That's how it happens. Ask questions. Number two. It's very close to number one, so I won't talk much about it. It is the disciples that understand the word of God. Luke 24, verse 45. You know, about the secrets of God, it's more than just the word of God. It cuts across anything. It's intention for a whole nation, for lands, for places. Luke 24, verse 45.
Then he said, then he opened their mind so they could understand the scripture.
Then he opened their mind so they could understand the scripture. It's the antenna of that mic that is misbehaving. That's it. He was talking to his disciples on the way. Number three, escape the many hurts and pains of the normal man. Anyhow you like to write it. Escape all those things of the average human being. And of course, I have not come to say that you will not have tribulation. I have not come to say that you will not have trials. But I'm saying that you will not be caught in the web of their disappointments if you are diligent as a disciple. Because you will not take the job that is not asking you to take. And so, you will not lose the money you are not supposed to lose. You will not walk into traps that you are not meant to walk through. Because as you are about to go, your spirit is telling you, please don't go, my friend. And you sit down. There are perplexities. There are troubles. They cannot be your lot. Not anymore. Everybody is scrambling for job, trekking all the whole of Lagos. You will not do it. Job will be asking for you. When I got the offer for my last job, I didn't want to do it. Because I have more things I prefer to do with him at home. At home. You are too bothered about how will you eat. As if feeding you is something so big that you'll be able to have something to eat. How much are you eating every week? That will threaten his divine supply. How much? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Those things have limited you for too long. There are many more things he wants to show you. But because of food, fear of being hungry, you have run out. And you are leaving the most important things. I don't know how to say this. That's John 8, 12. That number 3, John 8, 12, Isaiah 48, 17. I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer, who teaches you to profit and lead you in the way that you should go. That's Isaiah 48:17. I teach you to profit. I teach you for profit. I teach you for your own profit. I teach you for profit. That's why he teaches you. Final, number 4. That's where I will stop because I don't want to take too much of those ones. It's returning to the original status of dominion for mankind. And when I come to this point, I always enjoy myself. Because I came from a background that made me too much under the devil. So when I come to that point, I enjoy it. It's for returning. To the original status of dominion. I would majorly read 2 scriptures. All the rest, you can get them later. Luke 3:38. Oh Lord, which one should we pick next out of all these scriptures? Yes, and then Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Please, are we there? Let's quickly read that.
The son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God.
It's a genealogy. The son of Enoch, the son of Seth. That's the son of Enoch. Enoch, the son of Seth. Seth, the son of Adam. Adam, the son of God. What was Adam called in the Bible? Eh? The son of God. What is Jesus? Or I would prefer to say, who is Jesus? Now read Romans 8:29.
For God.
Let me read it. Your mic is failing. Unless. For those whom he foreknew. Are you there? For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his son, and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Those who have been born, not of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but of God. What did he tell Adam? Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, replenish the earth, Abby, and subdue. That's what comes back to a person that submits to discipleship under Jesus and is being conformed and shaped to the image of Jesus Christ. You will grow into that original dominion. Nothing threatens you. That's why I always enjoy it. When it comes to the devil, I have no fear. I don't talk about it anymore. So at least for once, it can remove that devil thing from your head. And you begin to do the things that really matter. And stop thinking that there's one devil anywhere that can stop you. Or that wants to stop you. The one that will stop Jesus, let him be the first person to stop you. Become a disciple. Enroll under him. Let him teach you how. How to walk into that thing with which you were created originally. I told us before, we are not in the same class with the devil. He's an angel, no matter how high he is. Archangel. He's an angel, no matter how high. So what has reduced us to begin to fear him? That anytime you hear devil, we leave that. So we get now into the costs. Like I've said, ask your questions. Ask your questions. Have we got that? Huh? Okay, I move on. Let me see how far God can help us. I will touch this aspect quickly as well. Okay, since it's already titled, let me know about that. Somebody read Luke 6:40 for me, one major part. Especially if you have an Amplified Bible. Really helpful. Anybody? Then let me read it myself if you are not there.
A student is not above his teacher.
Okay.
But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher.
Everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. If my teacher is Jesus Christ himself, then I will be like who? If I'm going to be like Jesus, we had that drawing or that thing about A is equal to B and is equal to C. And I told you if it is less than A, you cannot say it's A. If we are copying him, we copy him all around. We copy his character. We copy in power. We copy in holiness. We copy in his love. We copy in his care. We copy in his personality. We copy all around. Let me read the Amplified myself. Thank you, ma'am. A pupil is not superior to his teacher. But everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. Let me establish with us as the Lord explained to me here. Many of the things you call your normal, that's me, that's how, that's my life, they are abnormal. And you need to be readjusted. And you need to be set to rights. That's what is there. Every pupil, when he registers under this, under the master, is abnormal. We said the other time that even if you had PhD, you are a brute when you come here. You know nothing. You are completely uncivilized in this kingdom. So you will have to be taught how to hold fork and knife when you come here. All that you have been and that you have learned before, notwithstanding. Because, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no... He didn't say anything. All the things that you call good and bad, put together. The day he showed me, I wrote all my talents, included all my ambition, all my plans, the way I told you to write yesterday. I wrote all. They are all not good. The only thing that is good is the one that he approves. It's the only thing that he does that is good. The one that is in my flesh, that is the product of this my head, that is the product of my carnal mind, is not good. It doesn't accept it. We need to be readjusted. That is the need for discipleship. You have not come into the real type of life that he has designed for you. You have not come into the standard for you. You have not come into it. There's still so much more that you need to get that you have not got. And only him that has the map, that knows, that lived that life, is the only one that has ever lived that life in person. As a normal human being, is the only one that can show you how and readjust you. So all the character flaws you have, all the fears that you have, is the only one that can show you and readjust them and set you to right. I used to be a very angry and wicked and stubborn person. I told you that before. If you see me now, you will not think I can be like that or I would ever have been like that. The only person that could do it is him. I will not forget the day that change started. This particular one I'm saying. It was the day I offended my brother as usual and he slapped me. It has never happened in my history that you will slap me, you will go free. It has never happened until that day. And then I remembered that one of the days in JPF when you were preaching, we talked about copying Jesus and saying, what would Jesus do if he was in my position? And that thing rang in my head while my brother slapped me. For the first time, before my hand would have moved, before I start thinking. It rang in my head and I stopped. I couldn't do anything. I knew Jesus would not beat back. I remember if they slap you on the right, turn the left. And I knew as he explained that time that means don't just retaliate. Since he said also, if they take your coat, give him your jacket too, or all that. Don't worry, don't resist an evil person. I stood there in front of my brother. I said something, why are you slapping me now? He gave me the second one. Pah! I said something again, I don't remember, but not to beat him back. And then he slapped me a third time. And I cried in front of him. That was the day I stopped fighting my brother. All along, I will be a good Christian in the school. I used to preach GS2, GS3. But I fight my brother at home. I got a wound. This thing, they had to stitch my eyes, fighting my brother. For what? Food. Does it make sense? But that's how much the devil has battered us in our normal human life. It's abnormal. It's not what you were meant to be. This normal life you call your own is not the thing that God made. It's a distorted life that came because of the fall of Adam. The life that can be afraid and threatened and sees no goodness and lives only for himself and for what he can eat. Instead of dominating and being the giver, the source of life for all men, that they come to draw from your bowels. It is that day my brother began to respect me. That's the day it started. The only day that he beat me and I didn't beat back. So what I've been trying to get respect by fighting for my rights, I got by not fighting anymore. If my brother is here, he will stand there and be a witness to what I'm saying. He respects me now. Not for anything that I have done to him or that I have given him. But we could sit down now and talk as mature people, as brothers. But that was when he started. I'm not saying after we are grown. He started from that time. He started respecting me. He began to listen when I talk. He began to have respect for the Christianity I said I have.
He began to respect that I read the Bible. Because he slapped me and I did not slap back. It's not normal. I didn't slap back. I did not burn any of his clothes. I did not throw any of his property away. That's what I normally do. It's not possible. I don't look like it anymore. I have been readjusted, set to rights. I don't have compassion. I don't pity anybody before. It's not easy for me to cry or to show any emotion. He fell into the gutter one day before me. All I was doing was laughing. I didn't say sorry. They tell me somebody, it doesn't touch me. Now I know what it means to feel compassion. You think you are a hard person and they're talking, you come to Jesus, he will set you to right. That's what we are saying here. You need to be readjusted. You need to be readjusted. If you are, the normal life you are living is not a normal life, it's abnormal. That's what I'm saying. You see, that's I've erased it. I underlined that normal. It came from somewhere. That's the need. So how do we begin to get into it? I'll go into this for another 10 minutes. I started 15 minutes before. And maybe we'll give opportunity for questions then. I will be through by 10 o'clock. God willing. I hope we have all got this. What is the need for discipleship? Ultimate need, as we have seen here. I know it will be like Jesus. I just want to bring it out here. Is that we need to be readjusted. And of course, the product of that will be to be... That's what has been ringing since. But you probably may not know why you need to be like Jesus if you don't know that you are not normal. As you stand. That's the issue. Okay, now, so let's get into his conditions. Have you taken that? Okay. You know, we said earlier that if you are going to be an apprentice under a master, definitely he will read out his conditions. Have you ever seen anybody that went for apprenticeship and he was not given rules or conditions for his application and admission? They will tell you, you are going to start for 3 years, so, and these are the rules. You resume at 8 o'clock, and so. If you damage anything, especially fashion designing, you know, my dad is a tailor, so I know a little bit about that. If you break this one, you buy your needle, you buy your tape root, and all these other things, they will tell you all the rules. Do you realize that those rules are not punishments? Do you realize that they are actually the tools to instill the discipline that that person needs to be able to learn that vocation? Do you know that's what they are? It's the same thing with his conditions. His commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. And we were answering that woman the other day when she asked that, okay, he said, don't start until you have counted the cost. That, okay, so should I sit down? I said, boy, by the time you even know what he offers, you will be ready to damn the consequence. I said, I'm going all out for Jesus. I can't settle for a little life when there's so much more. So if it will cost me so, I'm ready to pay. Just the way everybody will almost kill themselves over to get an appointment of a PA with the president. We said that, isn't it? With your music career that you think, if the president offers you an appointment now to be his personal PA, of course, personal PA is personal assistant. It will almost take you God before you can say no. I'm not even seeing anybody really. It will be very hard, that's what I'm saying. Why? Because of the benefits they are certain. That's why we took our time to see that. So now let's get into the tools, the conditions that he gives us to instill the proper discipline that will establish our feet on the way to becoming like him. The secret of being like him, they are found in those conditions. The basic secrets are found in those conditions. We'll begin from that. Luke chapter 9. And we'll read verse 23. And this time I would like to do all the reading myself. Because I am going to read several versions of the Bible.
And I would not want us to take so much time with that. Are we in Luke 9:23? Eh? So we call this the cost of, or you may call it conditions as you like. But don't remember, remember this, that we said those are the tools that he uses for molding us into his likeness. Are we there now? Okay. And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself. I'm reading Amplified Bible, so that deny himself is explained further as disown himself, forget himself, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that follow me is explained as cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. Okay, I told us the last class yesterday, it is not a question of your choice as much as it's a question of your value. You know, I said that if you don't have that much value for him, you can't give. You see what he's asking you to do now. But we also said he has never asked us to do anything before that he has not done. One of the things that he threw to me one of those times is, may I resign my all for him who died for me. May I give up my all for him who gave me all. No purpose and no claim and all those other things. I've forgotten the remaining lines. And then the chorus of that song is, Jesus my master, Jesus my all, you I will follow, you I will serve. Something like that. It's a prayer that came from an encounter with this type of scripture one of the days. So let's read it. In the kingdom, the cost of glorification is mortification. To truly live, we must die. John 12:24. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much more fruit. We have established that we need to be readjusted. If you are not ready to throw away the garbage that we still call life, how will you get the real one that is good? How will the new grow instead of the old if you are not ready to throw away the old? So if you have not realized that there is a desperate need for a change, and that there is so much to enjoy in the new life that Jesus offers, it will almost be looking to you like a burden. Now what is this person saying? That's why we took our time to look at his profile and what he has to offer earlier. So I believe we shouldn't have any problems with that. There are tools, just as the master will give an apprentice. There are the disciplines needed to be cultivated to enter that life. As we go into that, it gives us one more incentive that he asked me to bring when we come to this point. Let me quickly bring that for us. Where did I put it? Okay. I will just go on without it if I don't find it immediately. Alright, thank you, God. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 24. It says, whoever tries to save his own life will destroy it. But whoever destroys his life on my account will save it. Complete Jewish Bible. That's how it is translated. Now, before we look at those conditions and costs that may look to you as if there are something, he wants to explain to us why we need to take this. Anybody who is still trying to save his own life, that life that you say, my own, he says eventually you will destroy it. by trying to lead yourself, by trying to live your own life that way you are planned, what you are actually doing is that you are destroying your life by your own self. He that tries to save his own life will destroy it. The one who loses it for me, he will save it. It's a trade. Are you ready to make the trade? We all think, I trade my ashes for beauty. If you, what you have is ashes. Pack it, dump it, and then take beauty. Beauty for ashes. Oil of glass. Believe God that you have picked talent to know why you need to throw away your life. If that's the language that you need to understand what I'm saying. It's not my life anymore. You heard Jesus say that, not as I will, but as you will. I told you he's the one, first person that did everything he's asking us to do. Philippians 2. He didn't consider the glory he had with the Father something to grasp. Equality with God, he didn't consider it something to hold on tightly to. That's the meaning of he didn't consider it as something to grasp. And then he left it and humbled himself to become like a human being. For a time made lower than the angels. And he suffered the shame and the pain of the cross because of the glory he saw ahead. I am making you that offer also on behalf of Jesus. Don't destroy your own life by thinking you know how to lead that life. You don't know. Is that okay? You don't know. That's what he has shown us. That's an incentive. So he wants to help you make your life. We all agree he knows all things. We all agree he has all power. We all agree he has all goodness. We all agree he has everything we are looking for. We saw that yesterday, Abby. That is there anything that you ever need that is not in Jesus? And we all said, no. The answer is, he has everything. So he is making us an offer. I have everything you are looking for. Please, drop everything that you think you want. Let me give you the right ones. Okay. I surrender there. Peter started to say to him, Mark 10:28-31. Obviously, we will start with the cost in the next class. Peter started to say to him, behold, we have yielded up and abandoned everything. See his first disciples, though. See what they are telling him. We have yielded up and abandoned everything once and for all and joined you as your disciples, siding with your party, and accompanied you, walking the same road that you walk. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, there is no one. There is no one. It will not be you. It didn't start today. It's 2,000 years at least. There is no one who has given up and left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or land for my sake and for the gospels who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Can you see the trade? Would you rather settle for one when you can get 100? We have gone to school. Why we go to school is to be able to make right decisions. Would you rather settle for one, that little life you are so designed, when you can get 100? I will drop this last scripture. It is the one that made me give up my all. As far as purpose and ambition and all those other things I need to have and understand, and made me embrace the plan of God for my life. It's Isaiah 55, verse 8. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And I told myself, how high, how far above, how far high apart is the heaven from the earth. Then I saw a picture. All that I ever wanted, especially this hospital with about 600 staff that discovers the cure for AIDS and uses it for gospel campaign. I've always been a religious boy. I loved it. And possibly that type of, that aspect might still come out. Those were some of the things I wanted. I'd always wanted to be a medical doctor. All of that. And then I saw, as high as the heavens are from the earth, I saw my plans. This plan. Please, let's make the trade. What would you rather go for? That sign means it is not equal to. It's not equivalent. Please, brothers, I beg you, you need to respond to this call. Those who have not responded, the only thing they will find out is that by the time you get to heaven, you will hear that you could have done much more. You could have been a lot better than this. There was much more written for your life in the book that you don't have. Let me write those scriptures. The book is Psalm 139, verse 16. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Luke 9, 24. And that Mark 10, 28, 31. That's all. We will begin with those conditions in the next class. But this is the trade that we want to make with those conditions. His commands are not grievous. You can ask your questions. If you have other questions that you cannot raise now, write them down. Meet me personally or any of the leaders. Let's discuss it. Don't go home with any question. Don't go home with any question. Meet us privately. Let's discuss it. We'll talk about our own later.
Okay, what was running through my mind? Is a little different from what we talked about, but what we've been learning has been entering each other since. So it just came again now. There is this part of the Bible that says that you made my man a little lower than angels or something, something. And you also said that he came and left all his plan and became a man a little lower than angels or something. And while you were talking the other time, you said, we are not in the level of angels, we are higher. It sounds is can.
Let me let you know that a curse is a pronouncement made on a person that reduces him from his original position. And a blessing is a pronouncement made to a person that raises him to an higher pedestal. So when a person is cursed, it means he has been reduced. And it is the curse that God placed on human being, that's on man, on Adam directly. And you know, that curse that is sin acquired, that reduced humans to
to the level that we are in. Are you getting what I'm saying? The carnal man, the fallen man, that's why demons could have rights and authority over you and ride you and do all those things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? The carnal man, in that is carnal nature, sincerely, he cannot stand the devil. They're not born you. He's a slave. Do you know what it means to be a slave? Even if he wants to do something, he must do what the master wants him to do, otherwise he will be killed. Everybody you know that is not born again, that's one of the incentives I have for preaching. Let me let you know that they are under the devil. And he can kill them anytime he decides, if only God withdraws grace. It's only God's grace that sustains them and makes them wake up every day. If the devil decides to kill him today, there's nothing to stop him, unless God says no, that I still want to act on my own. Just by God's sheer mercy. It is that bad. A nation, a generation that has been enslaved because of sin, reduced, cursed. But that's what discipleship achieves. When we come to him, and we are not stopping just at the gate of conversion with all our ignorance, and we say, I want to press on to become like the man Jesus, then we will assume our stature as sons of God, restored, set to light, not in the class of angels, not in the same class with the devil. Do you understand? I think it's clear. Okay, next question, please.
My question is, that Mark 10, I don't really understand it.
But the first will be the last, and the last will be the first. It's very simple. I didn't get there. I didn't even mention it. I wanted to keep it. I said it when we were preaching, that many of the biggest people that you know will not be the biggest people in heaven. It's already there in Matthew 7 as well, verse 23 to 25. Oh, we did many miracles in your name. Read it in the Message Bible. He said, Lord, Lord, we have done many wonderful things in your name. He said, our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. Groundbreaking projects. Everybody was talking. This is the greatest thing that has ever happened in the Christendom. All physical and material things. Thousands of souls gathering under one man. Without certainty that five will go to heaven. He has only those five that goes to heaven. The remaining 100,000, they are lost work. Will it be great? Matthew 25 also answered the question for me. And Matthew 20 did the final one. You know what is there? The master himself, Jesus, called some people to work. He called some in the morning and told them, I will pay you this amount. He called some at noon and said, I will pay you this amount, 9 o'clock, then 12. He called some at about 3 o'clock and said, I will pay you this amount. And then about 5 p.m., very close to the end of the day's work at 6, he called some. And he said, whatever I think you deserve, I will give you. And at the end of their work, he paid all of them the same amount. Then the people in the morning said, why are you being unfair? He said, did I not make a bargain with you that I will pay you this amount? Was it not a good deal for you? He said, yes. I have decided to pay these people that thing because as by my own estimation, they have done what the time I gave them to work could have afforded them to do. They completed their mission. People will be rewarded in heaven based on how much you did in the plan of God for your life, not based on all the things that you do and people are shouting up and down. If God did not send you to build university and of your own free will and ambition because you want to be a lecturer and a vice chancellor, you'll build university. You are doing a work that will burn. When you get there, everybody will celebrate you, but you will be among the least. That's what happens. Do you understand what we are saying now? It is doing unauthorized work, as NLT calls that, Matthew 7, verse 23. It says the things you did were unauthorized. Get away from me. I didn't send you to do them. The sister that is talented in music and all of a sudden makes herself a music minister, as in to enter music ministry fully, as if that's your entire life's calling. Probably God has another ministry for you with children. And then you settle down with music. You would have done good works. You would have done what God will appraise. But in the plan, it is music and then the children. But you left the children. You did music and you did banking. People will celebrate you.
oh, great, oh, that. But it is not according to what is in the book. That's why we said, you don't know what is in the book. All the days of my life, Psalm 139:16, they are written in your book. Before anyone had passed, you know it all together. You don't know the book, he knows. So let him lead your life. Do you understand now? That's how that will not happen. Do you get what is the thing now? So we don't talk too much on that.
Praise God. My question is, you said God has plans for us and his plans precede us. My own is, my question is, can God have two plans for me? For instance, probably he's saying that you do this and you do that again. As in, isn't that he has just one ministry or two ministries or three ministries like that?
Beautiful. It is Isaiah 60 or 61. You know Jesus that we know. The Jesus most of us are familiar with is the one that heals the sick and casts out devils and does miracles. And of course likes to preach about sin, even though that side you don't really see it usually. But do you know that in Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? He is the Savior of the world, right? But in that mission of saving, which is the big picture, there are this ministry of comfort to the discomforted. Are you getting me? He has anointed me to preach. Can you give me those things? To preach deliverance to the captives, Abby? And then you can keep listening. And Jesus himself confirmed the same thing in Matthew when he was in the temple, and the scroll of Isaiah was given to him to read. And when he opened, he found the place where that scripture was written. And he told them that today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your eyes, because this thing was talking about me. So, in his mission to save the world from sin and restore us to become children of God, he has the ministry of teaching, of healing, of miracles, of feeding the poor, are you getting me? Of clothing the needy, of exchanging beauty for ashes, and all those other things. One person, yes, can have. As I stand here, I have the ministry of a teacher, but I have a music ministry as well. And besides music ministry, I have so many other ministries of helps. Some of them you are going to hear today, because I'm going to make one of them known. Are you getting me? We also told you yesterday that this particular ministry information platform has a lot to do with welfare, prison ministry, hospital ministry, but principally our work is to edify the church and evangelize the body of Christ. But all those other aspects of ministry are involved in that work to make that thing possible. You don't preach to people who are hungry and you don't give them food and then you say, be filled, be go. It's not according to the Bible. So why not pray that you will be the vessel that God will use to feed them as well? And that's a ministry on its own. Do you understand? Eh? So there's a broad plan for you. There will be a statement that, okay, this is what I want you to achieve. But there will be several ministries, other services. That's the meaning of ministry. Services that you will be rendering to the kingdom of God and to humanity to achieve that broad plan. Is that clear to you? Thank you.
My question is that, does God plan delay? God plan. Is it delay?
Does God plan delay? Write the vision. Make it plain upon tables so that it will run that reads it. He said, if it tarries, wait for it. If it looks to you as if it is delaying, he says you should wait for it because it will not tarry. Because it will not delay. We need to be readjusted. We are the ones that are too much in a hurry. Are you getting me now? So our definition of delay is actually that we are hurrying. God is looking at you and saying, there is something I'm working out. Why don't you relax? Somebody wants to rush out early morning to work, but God knows he will meet terrible traffic. And then he says, stay more with me in this place. Let's pray more. Let's study more. He says, no. My boss will sack me if I don't go. He cuts short his quiet time and then rushes out. And then immediately gets to Akonwojo. He enters long hold up that will take him 2 more hours and he will not get to that same office till 10 a.m. Then he will start asking himself, and he's so tired and fagged out, useless for the day. Then he begins to ask himself, if I had known. And that thing was telling me, you had the one that the pastor said here today. Preparing for message here, he said he was being ministered to that. It's like you are preparing more than the syllabus. He didn't know that he was not even going to really preach in this place, but I will do more of ministering. An impartation. Should be you saw all. Didn't he say it by himself? That's how it happens. Do you understand that now? Eh? So it's, if you think he's delaying, check, you are the one in a hurry. Go and ask him. If he thinks he's delaying, say, Lord Alpha, how is this? And I'm feeling as if it's taking too long. And then he will tell you again, relax. I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you understand? You can't miss your future with Jesus. You will have the brightest and the best. Let us pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for sending us your word. We thank you for giving us grace. And we thank you for illuminating our hearts. We ask, O God, that you will help each one to find practical actions which you know my heart desires more on what to do. I ask, O God, that you will make each one to make this resolve in their hearts to follow you alone and remove their petty plans that are tied around themselves, to embrace your all-compassing plan that will make them the giants that you have proposed that they will be. Let it be so, our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing us, and thank you for all the more things that you are set to do among us. And we are prayed in Jesus' name.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8030-58, 080-734-8136,
080-7455-8177, 081-409-9132-1. Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?